Hey y'all, time for the Flickers of Fear show, and I'm doing kind of a newer movie, but listen to this weird shit that happened. There's like a whole ordeal about this. Okay, so a while back, as most of you probably know if you listen to the show to any great degree, I have a massive list of movies, both old and new, that I either want to review alone or have Tom and I do it on one of our matinee or movie retrospective shows. So I just have this huge, so I'm constantly going through lists of, old underrated movies, getting recommendations from you guys, going through, various horror blogs lists of, best horror movies of the past year or the past 10 years, whatever. So I have this huge list that I have to get through. So one movie that I'd been hearing a lot about that came out in 2020 was a movie called Nocturne. Now, this movie was part of, there's a kind of an anthology series, sort of. It's similar to what Hulu is doing with Into the Dark, where they make a movie, like a horror movie every month, like that has to do with the holiday of that month. That's Hulu's thing. Well, Amazon Prime also has something, and it's called Welcome to the Blumhouse. And obviously, that's Jason Blum, his horror production company. And what they are been th what they started doing was they started doing four films that come out one a week every October. So this past October 2020, they had four movies come out, one of which was Nocturne. That was the last one. The other ones were called The Lie, Black Box, and Evil Eye. Now, I guess they're not related necessarily, but I guess what they're doing is they're having like a thematic similarity. Because I looked up on the Wikipedia page because I'd heard about that thing, but I didn't really know much about Welcome to the Blumhouse or what it was or anything. So I guess the first four movies are supposed to be based around, and what the quote was family and love as redemptive or destructive forces. And these are going to be kind of like supernatural thrillers, that type of thing. So Nocturne was one of those, and I kept seeing it come up on, best movies, best horror movies of 2020 list. So I put it on my list, and then, obviously I have Amazon Prime, so last night I was kind of like, oh, okay, I'll get into it and I'll start watching it. Now, the confusion arose. I didn't know much about the movie. I knew that it was about a music student. That's pretty much the extent that of the knowledge that I had previously. So I start watching this movie because I'm just scrolling through Amazon Prime, like, oh, there it is, and I started watching it. Now, as I'm watching it, I'm like, this isn't a bad movie, but this is really not what I was expecting. I'm like, I don't really know why it's called Nocturne. It's not anything to do with music. It was basically about a bunch of teenagers who are having a graduation party, and then they do a séance, and one of them gets possessed, and there's like a weird, like a time skip thing. Kind of reminded me a little bit of Coherence or something like that, where it was all like shot in one house, and you could tell it was low budget, but it was actually like pretty decently done. And so I'm watching it and I'm like, this really isn't what I was expecting, but this is okay. This is an all right movie. And then I notice that this movie, which is, as I said, also called Nocturne, although I still don't know why, came out in 2017. So then I'm looking through Amazon Prime and I'm like, oh, well, I was watching the wrong one. It was called, they just have the same title. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm really stupid. So last night it ended up that I actually watched two movies called Nocturne just like right in a row. So one from 2017 and the second one, the Blumhouse one from 2020. And I've since, like, when I watched like some reviews of it, like some other reviewers said too, they were like, oh, there's another movie on there called Nocturne, so don't confuse them. And the funny thing about it was, I think it was Austin Burke's channel, and he had done a review of it, and he ever, periodically puts up, photos or stills from the movies. And most of the stills were from the Blumhouse movie, but then one of the stills was from the other 2017 movie. And I noticed that somebody in the comments would be like, who was that? I don't remember that in the movie. So I had to go on there and answer that was from the other one that was called that. So, and I'm not saying that the other Nocturne from 2017, it's a perfectly decent movie. I didn't like it as that much when it started out because the characters were kind of obnoxious and like unlikable and stuff. But once everything started going into, weird like time distortions and it got kind of trippy and everything, it kind of got better. So I had already been like invested in it. So I was like, why not? So that's like a decent movie too. But it's just funny that it was called the exact same thing. So let's talk about the one that I intended to watch to start with, which is the 2020 Blumhouse movie called Nocturne. Okay, now just like everything else, this movie is gonna be, I really liked it. I didn't love it, but I really liked it. It's not going to be everyone's cup of tea because it's not, it does have a lot of horror elements and it's real creepy and there's like supernatural shit happening in it, but it's not real, it's not over the top, it's not real gory. It's a lot of it is kind of like, I don't want to say, it's not like arty farty necessarily, but there is a lot of metaphorical stuff going on that helps if you kind of know, you know, what's behind it. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to try not to spoil it too much, but as I said, it's really hard to talk about movies without saying what the plot is, saying things that happen in it. So, you know, so I'm just like, I'm giving you a warning now. I might spoil some stuff that you didn't want spoiled. If you want to see the movie and you don't want to know anything about it, because like I said, I just went into it knowing it was about a music student and that was about it. You know, so if you want to go into that too, then go watch it. It's on Amazon Prime right now. And be sure to watch the Blumhouse one. Although, like I said, the other one's perfectly fine too. You know, and watch that and then come back and talk about it a little bit. So this movie tells the story of twin sisters. Their names are Juliet, who is played by Sydney Sweeney, who she's been in a lot of stuff, but I think a lot of people would recognize her from the Handmaid's Tale series. And she has a sister named Violet, known as V, who is played by Madison Iseman, who I had seen in a ton of stuff. I saw her in, I think she was in Goosebumps 2, which the Halloween, Haunted Halloween one. I think she was in the newer Jumanji movies. She's been in a bunch of shit like that. So, you know, she's very recognizable as well. So these two play twin sisters, and they're both classical pianists, and they go to kind of like an arts high school. So they're high school students. Now, pretty much from the jump, you can tell that there's sort of a little bit of a rivalry between the two sisters. I mean, they seem very close. They even call each other womies, like womb mates, you know what I mean? Because they were twins, you know? But the thing about it is that Juliet is kind of the plainer sister. And, you know, just in looks, but in personality also, she's very introverted. You know, she's never had a boyfriend. She's, you know, so she's kind of quiet. And her sister is sort of more outgoing. Now, the thing about it, though, is that Juliet is very, very serious about wanting to be a classical musician. But V, her sister, seemingly with not as much effort, is kind of brilliant. So she's the one that gets all the accolades. She's the one that everybody goes to, you know, whenever they have some kind of big thing to do with the school. It's like, oh, you know, V's going to do it because she's just like this brilliant player. And so Juliet is kind of like feeling like a wallflower or feeling like overshadowed by her sister. So it so happens that at this high school, there's this girl who right at the very beginning of the movie, there's like a really like a short scene at the beginning where there's a girl in a room playing, her name is Moira, and she's playing a violin, and there's all this weird, like, scratched, like, you know, cymbals and stuff like that on the wall. And she suddenly stops playing and then jumps off a building, like, out the window and off the balcony. So she commits suicide. Now, she was, like, the virtuoso at the school, right? And so, because she killed herself, the school decides, well, she was going to give like the lead performance or whatever at this big, you know, shindig or do that they're doing. And they're like, well, obviously she can't do it now because she's dead. So we're going to have open tryouts again for, you know, for the next like lead performer. So obviously Juliet gets very, very excited about this and then starts doing shit like she finds this book. Okay. She finds like this book that belonged to Moira. Like she sort of steals it, but I guess they were cleaning out Moira's, you know, cubby or her mailbox or whatever. And the person cleaning out like dropped it and she picked it up and she was like, oh, score. So she keeps it. And she notices that there are these weird, like medieval satanic-y kind of things in there, like along with the sheet music. And she notices that as the time goes on, the stuff that's drawn in this notebook seems to have parallels to what is happening to her. And she has like weird nightmares. She sees, you know, the Moira's ghost a couple of times, like in her dreams and whatnot. And, you know, and as this is going on, she's also getting more and more, you could say confident, you could also say cocky. She basically just kind of starts, you know, she does something like, instead of doing the piece for the tryouts that she was going to do, she decides, without telling her twin sister, that she's going to do the same piece as her, which, you know, which is pretty shitty. So it's all that kind of stuff happens. And then she starts like kind of going after the, you know, the sister's boyfriend and all this other stuff. So you're led to believe, and I think this is a movie that needs two viewings, because like I said, there's a lot of metaphorical stuff going on. One of the things that's sort of at the center of this, and I think the sheet music that's in Moira's book with that has all the, you know, creepy satanic drawings in it, which is like a, almost like a 6-step process. It's something like, you know, sacrifice, purification, like it all says that kind of stuff. And she's drawn, it's almost like tarot card type of looking stuff. So this piece of music is a piece of music called, I think it's called The Devil's Trill by Tartini, who was a real dude. And the story goes, it's almost kind of like a Robert Johnson, like Devil at the Crossroads kind of story, but it's like, I think it's like 17th century. So apparently this dude was kind of like, he wasn't getting the accolades that he thought he deserved. And so he was going to commit suicide, but then he had a nightmare in which the devil came to him and sat on the edge of his bed and offered him, it's like, I will, you know, play you the most awesome song ever. All I need is one soul. So indeed, he did play him this song, The Devil in the Dream. He wakes up, he writes it down. And that indeed was the only piece of music that he was ever remembered for. And I think he did actually end up killing himself later on. So knowing that story, which they do kind of relate, like there's a teacher at the school, Mr. Cask, I think his name is, and he does actually relate that story to the girl's parents at one point. So it's not like you're just going and you're supposed to, you know, just expected to know who that dude is. But it's parallels Juliet's story, because she is essentially, she resents her sister because her sister seems to be kind of the golden child, and she doesn't seem to put as much effort, maybe, or at least she perceives that V doesn't put as much effort into her practicing or playing, that it just comes easy to her. And so Juliet, like, you know, resents that because she feels like she just works and works and works and she's just never as good. So she basically goes down a route of, it's like a Faustian type story, you know, where it's kind of like she will do anything to, not just, I mean, yes, she says she wants to be great and stuff like that, but it's almost like her main goal is just like to be better than her sister and have her be recognized as being better than her. So that's kind of the setup of the story. I don't want to go too much into it. There's a lot of Lucifer stuff in it, because there's a point where she sees like a bright yellow light, and there's, you know, this symbol that keeps recurring that's like on the front of Moira's book, and it's kind of carved in the wall that I guess is supposed to be like the morning star. You know what I mean? Because he's supposed to be, you know, Lucifer, Lightbringer, that kind of stuff. So as I said, it's a very Faustian type story where she seems like she's trading her soul, you know, for greatness, you know, and it obviously it's a horror movie, so it doesn't work out quite the way she intended. But, you know, but overall, I really, really actually did like this movie. I really like movies about artists and about kind of the obsession, particularly musicians and stuff like that, but it's like the obsession about it. You would probably like this. It's a little bit like, it reminded me somewhat of like Black Swan, The Perfection, that Netflix movie. There was another Blumhouse movie called Whiplash, which I think was about a jazz musician. So it's kind of in that sort of area. So if you liked any of those and you like movies about musicians or like obsession or rivalry or something like that, then you would probably really dig this. I did like the way it was shot. The acting's great. The way it's shot, it's almost kind of like this real drab sort of atmosphere, like, because almost all of it takes place at this particular like music high school. And it's all just kind of like, not overtly so, but it's real kind of like washed out looking. And it's almost kind of like, because that's, I guess that's how Juliet, the main character, that's how she feels. She feels like she's kind of dull and dowdy, like next to her amazing sister. So she always feels like she's like a wallflower. But then when she starts to essentially make her deal with the devil through this book, you know, that this former student had before she committed suicide, she starts seeing the, you know, these bright lights and this brightly colored sort of thing, which, like I said, I guess that's sort of the impact of Lucifer, like coming into her life or whatever. So there's that kind of element to it too, which I thought was like really interesting, really well done. So I think the name, the person that directed this was named, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but their name is Zhu Quirk or Quirky. I'm not really sure because there's an E at the end. But apparently this is their first film. And like I said, I really enjoyed it. I didn't love it, because I think that I kind of wish it had gone a little bit more into the ghosty supernaturally stuff and a little less into, I mean, I liked the sibling rivalry issue, but I think the whole thing about her stealing the boyfriend and stuff, that could have been shortened or excised or whatever. It's like, you know, it's not a huge deal, but you know, they could have just trimmed that down a little bit. But you know, it was all just trying to tell the story of how she was basically trying to usurp her sister or even become her sister. I guess she was trying to do that too by like taking away everything that was hers so she could kind of, you know, get the accolades she thought were due to her that her sister was getting. So there was that kind of thing. But like I said, it's a very minor criticism. It's, you know, it's not super action packed. It's a very dark like mood piece. So like I said, if you liked The Perfection, if you liked Black Swan, you know, things like that. It's sort of like that, like in the same vein. But yeah, you know, I really, really enjoyed it. From what I've heard, I haven't watched any of the other Welcome to the Blumhouse movies, the three other ones. I've heard that the one, I think it was called Evil Eye, I've heard that one wasn't very good, that it was almost like a Lifetime movie. And I haven't heard that much about the other two. I guess they're doing four more, like this upcoming October with a different theme. So I don't know. We'll see where, because I really like that idea of them doing that, because you know, like I said, I've seen some of the ones that they did on Hulu because they, you know, as I mentioned, they have a similar thing called Into the Dark, where they have a new horror movie coming out every month. And I haven't seen all of those, obviously, because it's a lot. But you know, the ones I've seen have actually been really enjoyable. So we'll see if this is kind of what they're doing. I mean, for a Blumhouse movie, this is actually one of the, you know, one of the best Blumhouse movies I've seen. Not that I've seen a ton of those, but you know, it had more of an artistic sort of veneer to it, not so much, and it is more of a suspense mystery type thing than outright horror, but it does have a lot of creepy elements to it. So if that sounds like something that you would enjoy, then by all means go check it out and tell me what you thought of it in the comments. As I said, it's on Amazon Prime. Like I said, be sure you get the Welcome to the Blumhouse one and not the other one. This one came out in 2020. The other one, which is also on Amazon Prime, came out in 2017, which, like I said, is also a perfectly fine movie, but it's nothing to do with this one. So, you know, don't get them confused. But yeah, so that'll do it for this Flickers of Fear, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.